Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Park. We invite you to look with us in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Verses 1 through 9, Joshua chapter 1. Then looking briefly in Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10, it tells us these words of wisdom. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Verses 10 through 20, Ephesians chapter 6. Father, we thank you once again for the wisdom and the counsel and the strength of your word. Thank you for the opportunity for us to hear your wisdom and counsel and to walk in that wisdom and counsel and to walk in the power of your word. Father, guide us and empower us more and more to be more faithful hearers and doers of your word, and help us to be mindful of the fact that you call us to courageously obey you. And even when the storms of life seem to be raging around us and when the earth may seem to even be shaking, Father, you're just as much on your throne as you ever were, and we can trust in you. You can be trusted. We can look to you to be our strength, our shield, our help in time of need, a God who calls us to victory as we trust you continually. We thank and praise you. More and more, teach our hands to war. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time as well.
Father, we come to you so thankful today, Father, for your precious Son, Jesus, who died on the cross for us. We're thankful, Father, that you will, in these spiritual battles that we face day by day, that you will never leave us, that you will never forsake us, that you are our shield, you're our great hope. We find our victory in you today, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We're continuing to encourage our listeners to get involved with the wonderful work once again this year of Operation Christmas Child, We're encouraging you to help send the good news of Jesus Christ to children around the world through a simple shoebox gift. Packing a shoebox results in the great work of evangelism, discipleship, and the multiplication of the Church of the Lord Jesus. This is a direct way for you to help to equip the local church around the world in different communities and nations. Operation Christmas Child's local ministry partners with a simple platform, a shoebox gift, to reach their own communities and establish long-term relationships. Again, it's great for you for us to pray for this ministry as well as to get involved in actually helping to assemble and put the shoeboxes together. You can start with a quality wow item such as a stuffed animal, soccer ball with pump, or clothing outfit that will capture the child's attention as a part of the items that actually go in the shoebox as well. If you're wanting to get involved or learn more about this great outreach to help to spread the gospel and to share the joy of Jesus with children around the world, just visit SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. Again, that's SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. Again, to learn more and to find out also about drop-off locations in your community. Hope you'll do that. We are blessed today to have with us once again. It's been a little time, but we're grateful to have Attorney Alan Parker. He's the president of the Justice Foundation. Alan, how are you today?
I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Thank you, Pastor.
Okay, great to have you. Always good to have you. And as we start, I want to ask if you'll take a moment just once again, there may be some who have not heard you before, reintroduce yourself and tell them what the ministry of the Justice Foundation is and its mission.
Well, thank you very, very much. And I want to thank all of your listeners for listening and praying with us during this hour of prayer. And I just deeply appreciate you and them and AFA and all the radio stations carrying this program. I'm Alan Parker, the president of the Justice Foundation. The Justice Foundation is a Christian, nonprofit, public interest litigation foundation. We educate, advocate, and actually litigate, meaning we go to court for the cause of Christ. We represent people at no charge. So all of our clients, we give away our legal services for free. And some of you may know lawyers can be expensive, but we give it away for free, and we represent people in cases where their case will benefit the whole public. And that's what public interest litigation means. If you have a private dispute between you and somebody, those are private lawyers for that. We're public interest litigation. And we're doing three things right now. We're doing mostly pro-life work right now. We have an effort to reverse Roe v. Wade at the U.S. Supreme Court. We're going to talk about some of that today because this is a critical time to be praying for the Supreme Court. Everybody on the line, just think right in. This weekend, the next 30 days, wow, got to pray for the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. So one project is called The Moral Outcry, and everything I'm talking about, you can find at our website, thejusticefoundation.com. org. We've got a lot of free resources for people that are listening at justicefoundation.org. Everything can be found. We have the Moral Outcry to reverse Roe v. Wade. We have Operation Outcry, where women who have had abortions and have received the forgiveness and healing of Jesus Christ give us their testimonies about how abortion hurts women. And then we tell the women at the courts and legislatures what abortion really does to women. It's not empowerment, it's enslavement almost, and you bring devastation and death into your life. But there is healing and forgiveness through Jesus. And then the third thing is our Center Against Forced Abortions. Forced abortion is illegal everywhere in America, and you, the listener, can help stop those if you go to thejusticefoundation.org. So that's the three things we are currently doing, and we appreciate prayers and financial support if people want to give that so that we can give the free legal services to others. But prayer and free legal services and free resources for anybody that goes to the website.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing that. And Alan, you know, let me just say this. I want to say to all of our listeners, I really want to encourage you to very seriously make it your goal to pray much for Alan and the Justice Foundation. It's a ministry that's doing extremely important work in our culture as it relates, especially as it relates to the life issue, but other areas of the kingdom of God as well. And so they very much need the prayers of God's people. And also, again, as he pointed out, that typically legal help in our culture is expensive, yet they give their services away for free. And so I would challenge and encourage every listener, prayerfully ask God what he'd have you to do to support a great ministry like the Justice Foundation, because it's a very significant thing for them to do the great work they're doing, the great kingdom work, and yet doing it at no charge. And so God's people are to help carry this work forward. So please prayerfully consider supporting the work of the Justice Foundation, please. And so, Alan, again, we're grateful to have you on today. I know there are a number of things on your heart that you want to share with our listeners to both instruct them how to be praying about some critical things going on. So let's dive right into that.
All right. Thank you, Pastor Joseph. Yeah, the heart of what we want to do today is to create in the hearts of these listeners today and whoever hears this program at any time a desire and a commitment to pray for the United States Supreme Court for the end of abortion and revival, even in the Supreme Court of the United States. This is a critical moment in American history. We're going to be talking about 2 days. First is November 1st, which is really Monday after this weekend when this radio program first airs. But if you're hearing it afterwards, then the second key date is December 1st. So those 2 dates, we're going to pray before and after those 2 key dates, because the Supreme Court is hearing abortion-related cases. And God hates the shedding of innocent blood. And that's what abortion is. It's the shedding of innocent blood. And he is bringing an end to the covenant with death, the agreement with the grave that our Supreme Court has made in its abortion cases. The most famous abortion case is Roe v. Wade, and the court is considering right now, this weekend and all through this month, and probably all through June as they write the decision, they have abortion heavy on their heart, heavy on their minds. They're reading a massive amount of briefing right now, this weekend, including Sunday, which sadly is October 31st, a day which should be a good day, but which has been sort of co-opted by witchcraft and death and the devil as Halloween. But on All Souls Day, I believe it is November 1st, the Supreme Court is going to be hearing the Texas heartbeat law. And on December 1st, they're going to be hearing the Mississippi law, which bans abortion after 15 weeks. It bans late-term abortions. So in 1 month, they're going to be hearing, and it is God who has arranged the schedule. It really wasn't the Supreme Court in the sense God's hand is on this. God is moving the heart of the nation. He's testing the judges. He's weighing them in the scales. He's weighing America in the scales. And let us hope he does not say, mene, mene, tu, tekel, uparson, which is what he said to the king of Babylon when the finger put, you have been weighed in the scales and found balance. You've been found wanting or lacking. And the court is weighing justice and equity, life versus death. And we need to be praying for them.
Okay. So those 2 dates, both November 1st and December 1st in the next few weeks, are critical days for God's people to be praying. So we're coming up on a break, and we'll pick up on the other side there. Our phone guest today is attorney Alan Parker, the president of the Justice Foundation. We'll be right back.
This is the story of a runaway with no way home and no way out. I threw the best of me away. I had my chance. It's too late now. Too far gone and too ashamed. to think that you'd still know my name. But love refused to lend my story in that way. You didn't wait for me to find my way to you. I couldn't cross that distance even if I wanted to. You came running.
The music of Casting Crowns, Love Moved First. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Attorney Alan Parker. He's the president of the Justice Foundation. And we're asking that you pray much for Alan and the great mission and work of the Ministry of the Justice Foundation. Alan, as we begin this segment, would you take time specifically to pray for listeners to really have ears to hear all the Lord would have them to hear in it? Because amongst other things, we'll be giving them a number of prayer assignments that are very important to things going on in our culture, our world today. Would you pray for them, please?
Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. We thank you that because of the blood of Jesus, if we have accepted him as our Savior and we confess our sins, then we can approach your throne with boldness and confidence and know that we will receive mercy and help in our time of need. So, Father, I pray that you'll give our listeners ears to hear and eyes to see what we're talking about. And this is a deep issue, Lord. If there's anyone who's participated in abortion and needs to ask forgiveness, I pray for grace and forgiveness and salvation for them, Almighty God, as the song was saying, Lord, you are looking for them. And Father, those who know you, I pray that you will give them grace and wisdom to intercede for the Supreme Court of the United States. We are commanded to pray for those in authority in the Bible, Lord. Your word says, so that we might lead a quiet and peaceful life with godliness and dignity. You want human dignity. Lord, forgive us for the sin of slavery in this country. Forgive us for the sin of segregation in the past. Help us to overcome the remnant of those issues today. But Lord, we ask you to forgive us for the sin of abortion in America today. And I ask you to help change the hearts of America and the Supreme Court that are hardened and think it's right to know the truth. And in Jesus' name, I pray.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Alan. Alan, earlier I read from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. I'm going to take a moment to read it again, and something I want to say to every single listener is, as we talk about these issues that Alan will be discussing related to the Supreme Court and the life issue, understand it's all spiritual warfare. We're not fighting flesh and blood, but it's spiritual warfare. So I'm going to read it one more time. Ephesians 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Again, verses 10 through 20, Ephesians 6. Alan, you know, I think it's so critical that we as believers understand all of this is spiritual warfare from beginning to end. So helpful for us to understand. That's just the correct way to really see what's going on. But your thoughts?
I agree 100%. And I just want to say that when we talk about the abortion industry or people who've had abortions and are still advocating for it, those humans are not our enemies. Those are our brothers made in the image of God, our mm-hmm. sisters made in the image of God. We are here to rescue the perishing mm-hmm. and proclaim liberty and release the captives. They are captive to the lies of Satan, and some of them may have participated in deeds of darkness, but we all have. We are all sinners and mm-hmm. fall short of the glory of God. So we don't have a holier-than-thou attitude. We don't come in condemnation. We come in freedom, and with the comfort that we've been comforted, that we want to comfort others. And so that's why we are doing what we do. Now, there is an evil enemy, Satan and the fallen angels, who want to kill, steal, and destroy. Satan is the father of lies. He's a murderer. And when we talk about abortion, it is murder. Mm-hmm. And it is based on lies. So one of the things we're going to be praying about in these cases is that the Lord will bind the spirit of murder. He'll bind the lies and confusion that Satan brings on people. We mm-hmm. want to pray in the heavenlies. We're seated in the heavenlies with Christ. So we want to go into the heavenlies above the earthly battles and go to the throne of grace and seek his help. But because we can't do this on the Lord. We file briefs, for example, at the court, and we've talked about the court. A brief is just written arguments. And let me just explain a little bit where we are. People are kind of familiar with the trial court. You go in, there's one judge, the witnesses sit on one side, the jury sits on the other, the lawyers sit in the front and ask questions. That's a trial court. That's where most courts in America are. But then after the trial, you go to an appeals court. If you don't like whoever loses, they don't like it. Well, we want to review, and the appeals court reviews everything. And sometimes they agree, sometimes they overturn. And then you can even appeal higher to the U.S. Supreme Court. But they don't hear witnesses. They don't cross-examine people. They review the evidence that's in the record before them. And I've mentioned two cases. The first that they're going to hear on November 1st is the Texas bill that stops all abortion after a heartbeat can be detected by a sonogram. The heartbeat actually starts around 21 days or so after the baby is conceived. But with a sonogram, the soonest we can hear it with a machine is about 6 weeks. So that's the point. Hey, if you can hear a heartbeat, you know this is a human being. Let's stop this. And so we call it the heartbeat bill. And that law has been in effect in Texas for 58 days now, and it is saving lives, and it is preventing women from devastating psychological consequences. The Supreme Court itself has said women can have devastating psychological consequences from abortion. So the issue before the Supreme Court this weekend, and they're thinking about it, they just got over a dozen briefs, which is written arguments, and I'd like to tell you about the one the Justice Foundation filed yesterday. Mm-hmm. But it's a written brief, and it basically says, here are the arguments. And then the judges take those and they read them. So after all of the written arguments are given to the court, and after the parties have an oral argument, then the court takes all that information, and they have a private meeting just among the nine judges. It's called the status conference or the oral argument after conference. And they decide, and there's nobody present, not employees, not clerks, nobody except the nine judges. All right, are we going to stop this law from going into effect and then have a trial, or are we going to let it go into effect, and then let the other side have a trial and make a decision later? And we're weighing the balance of the equities. All right? And then they write an opinion. And in this case, we probably would hear in a couple of weeks, maybe a week or 2 weeks, what's going to happen. So that's where we are. On the other hand, in the Mississippi case, which is set for December 1st, that Mississippi case is at the end of a two-year process. Texas is kind of at the beginning of a two-year process. The law went into effect, the Texas law went into effect on September 1st, and it now is at the Supreme Court on a preliminary motion. On the other hand, Mississippi law was passed on 2018, and the courts had said, well, we're not going to let this law banning late-term abortion go into effect until we have a trial. And now that case is at the Supreme Court 3 years later, practically. And there's been a trial, there's been a hearing. So in the Mississippi case, it's really after some lengthy deliberation. And they'll hear all of the written briefs have been submitted. And the Justice Foundation filed 4 written briefs in the Mississippi case. And then there'll be an oral argument on December 1st. And let me say this, both anybody listening, on November 1st at 10 a.m. and on December 1st at 10 a.m., you can listen to these Supreme Court arguments for the first time in American history. Because of the pandemic, the Supreme Court is shut down to the public, and no one can come in. Usually a couple of hundred people get to sit in there and hear the oral argument. Now, they can't have a secret trial. This is America. So it's being open to the public by TV. And if you go to C-SPAN or the Supreme Court website on Monday, November 1st, or Wednesday, December 1st, you could hear these arguments. And you could be praying while the court is actually hearing the oral argument.
Alan, do you know if that'll be Central Time, Eastern Time? Do you know?
Yes, all those times I'm giving are Eastern Time because Eastern. The Supreme Court is in Washington, D.C.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, then.
So good. That's a good question.
Okay, and so this Monday, and well, now all the way coming up to Monday, which is November 1st, it's important for believers to be praying for the Spirit of God to be at work mightily in the hearts and the lives of the Supreme Court justices. Is that right?
That is absolutely right. I believe this issue is as important to the future of the history of the United States as the Dred Scott decision was, where the Supreme Court got it wrong and said slavery will be forever in the United States. And the Supreme Court said African Americans were an inferior race. Forgive me for saying that, but that's what the Supreme Court of the United States said, and they will not have any rights. So the Supreme Court made a terrible decision, and that partly led to the Civil War to end that injustice. Mm-hmm. I believe this case is as important as the segregation case called Plessy versus Ferguson in 1896, where the Supreme Court allowed segregation to continue all the way until 1954 in Brown v. Board of Education. So the Supreme Court has gotten it wrong a lot of times. Roe v. Wade is a wrong decision, terribly wrong. In 1973, the court made the same mistake in slavery and segregation. It said, oh, these humans, the ones in their mother's wombs, we're not going to give them equal rights. Everybody else has a right to life, but not these humans in the womb. Just like everybody else in America had a right to be free, but not these African Americans. And so it's just as important. That may be difficult, but God hates the shedding of some blood, and we have taken the lives of 60 million people. And the Supreme Court is right in the middle of this battle. There are titanic forces of governments like the United States government fighting the state of Texas for trying to be pro-life, and they're clashing at the Supreme Court. All of these spiritual forces of wickedness, world forces of wickedness, are coming against the Supreme Court to try to preserve death rather than life. So we need to be praying for them.
Hmm. And so part of what you were wanting to mention was you're encouraging believers to be involved with the 30 days of prayer, I believe you mentioned. Tell our listeners about that.
All right. Well, I believe that the next 30 days are critical because of November 1st and December 1st. Mm-hmm. On December 1st, we're actually going to have 40 hours of prayer for the Supreme Court. And you can go to National Day of Repent. Well, go to the JusticeFoundation.org. We'll put it up. On November 1st, we're going to put up a website about these two cases. It's not up right now, but on Monday, November 1st, it'll be up, and you can get all this. So we ask you to pray. So I've got about four prayer points that I'd like people to be thinking and praying about if this is a good time for that.
Okay, we're coming up on a break in just a moment, but on the other side of the break, if you'll be prepared to share those so that our listeners can specifically get them then. So we'll give you an opportunity to share them on the other side of the break, okay?
That sounds great.
All right, you're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guest today is Attorney Alan Parker. He's the president of the Justice Foundation, and we're encouraging every single listener to take very seriously the specific issues that Alan will be sharing with you, encouraging you to pray for. So we'll pick up on the other side of the break.
This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle.
That's what we're doing tonight.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight.
The music of Michael W. Smith with Surrounded. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Attorney Alan Parker. He's the president of the Justice Foundation. Alan, you're going to share four specific prayer points you'd like for listeners to take into consideration and be praying with us about.
Thank you very much. And I love the music that you play, and it just all flows together. Thank you.
Amen.
So I want to thank all the members of the audience who've been listening and who will kind of pray. As the Lord leads you, when you think about it, maybe bring up these issues in your Bible studies and church events that you're going to. Encourage others to pray with you. This is a critical time in American history. Number one is pray against lies and deception. Deception of the enemy of our souls, Satan, and against the lies that are told in the media and by the abortion industry, like it's just a mass of tissue. It doesn't matter. We know that this is someone made in the image of God. So number one is pray against lies and deception, and there are many of those. Number two, I pray against confusion in our camp. Pray for unity. Well, let me pray for unity in the pro-life movement, and pray that the Lord will scatter and bring confusion into the camp of our spiritual enemies, but bring unity and clarity in the body of Christ. The pro-life movement is working together like I've never seen them before. I can encourage you that in the Mississippi case, the pro-life side put in 80 briefs compared to 50 for the pro-life side. That's amazing and unusual. So number two is pray against confusion in our camp. Pray for unity in the camp of the pro-life side. We serve the Prince of Light, of life, Jesus Christ, and the other side is serving the prince of darkness and the father of lies and a murderer from the beginning. That's Jesus' quote about Satan. Number three is pray for justice and righteousness to rule in the case and at the Supreme Court. The Bible says that justice and righteousness are the foundation of God's throne. That's in Psalm 87 and Psalm 89. So God has built his throne on justice and righteousness. The Supreme Court is kind of built like a temple. Pray that it'll be a temple built on justice and righteousness. All of us can agree on that. Pray that for the court. The fourth one is to pray to end the covenant with death. Pray to end the covenant with death. Why do I say that? I believe that the abortion cases are a covenant with death, an agreement with the grave entered into by the Supreme Court. That's based on Isaiah 28, verses 14 to 22, which the Lord said, I will end your covenant with death, your agreement with the grave. And the abolitionist of slavery called Dred Scott, the decision said they'll be slaves forever. They called that Supreme Court decision a covenant with death, an agreement with the grave. And God did eventually end the practice of slavery in America. Praise God. But it takes a lot of prayer and a lot of action. So pray that the covenant with death will be ended like slavery and like segregation were. And I'll just remember, pray that the Supreme Court will have the boldness to do what they did in 1954 in Brown v. Board of Education. What did they do? They didn't create new rights for African Americans. Those were in the Constitution. The 14th Amendment said all people shall be equal. But the court had said, well, separate but equal is okay for you. But in 1954, the Supreme Court said, our decision, Plessy versus Ferguson, was wrong, and we reverse it, and it's time to end segregation in America. However they do it, we want them to end abortion in America. Those are the four key points.
Amen. Amen. Would you specifically lift those matters up and lift the church up in prayer as the church engages in these critical battles today?
Amen. Father, I thank you that you are raising up intercessors, but we need everybody involved in this, Lord. You can say by many or by few, but you want your people pleading for righteousness and justice. We are your ambassadors on this earth. Our prayers of the saints are incense arising before your throne, according to the book of Revelation, Lord. And when you're on your throne, you are also a judge. And when I was in front of the Supreme Court on October 4th, the first day of the term of this new year, the police said to the abortion protesters, the pro-abortion folks, this is your last warning. And then they got arrested for being in the street, Lord. Father, I pray that I feel like you're saying to America and to the pro-abortion side, this is your last warning. You are the judge of all the earth. You will decide how we are weighed in the balance. The court is weighing the balance between life and death. Help them to make the right decision. Help them to choose life. Help your church to be active in repenting of the sin of abortion. We pray against the lies and deception of the enemy. We ask you to bind the demonic forces against us. We pray for unity and clarity in the camp of the pro-life side, the Prince of Life, the Prince of Peace. We pray for justice and righteousness to rule at the Supreme Court, and we ask you for the end of the covenant with death, the agreement with the grave, where the Lord will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plumb line. Hail will sweep away the refuge of lies. Waters will overflow the secret place. And I believe those are the tears of the women whose testimonies are before the court. Help them read the 4,728 testimonies of women hurt by abortion. Let them feel the pain of abortion. Let them see the aborted babies' bodies that are in the written briefs, Lord. Make their eyes look at the truth. Open their eyes to the truth. Open their ears to hear the cries of the blood that cries out from the ground before your throne, O Lord. Let the humans hear it so that their hearts may be broken. And let justice flow down like waters from above. Jesus. Let the words of Martin Luther King and the words of Abraham Lincoln, as they spoke against these injustices of their days, let them resonate in the hearts of the judges and in the conscience of America, in the church. Wake up, church. Yes. Wake up, Jesus. America. Thus saith the Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Father, I thank you for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the opportunity you've given us to work in the power of your Holy Spirit to come to bring to an end the tragedy of legalized abortion. Lord, thank you for your sovereignty over us as the church and your sovereignty over us as a nation. Lord, open the eyes of the nation to recognize that abortion is first-degree murder. It's legalized murder, and that it never should have happened. Help us to recognize that. Help us to boldly stand up and end the tragedy that was started back in 1973 through the Supreme Court. Father, flood our Supreme Court with your light. Flood them with your grace, your spirit, your power. I pray that the Holy Spirit will set the court on fire with the power of the Spirit of God in Jesus' name and guide them to act in righteousness and guide them to act in such a way that you will be honored and the name of Jesus will be lifted up through the decisions they make and the directions they take. And stir every single listener to take serious the importance of us spending much time in prayer between now and Monday, November 1st, and between now and the 1st of December as well. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Alan, would you briefly just share just the tragedy behind the kind of the relentless actions on the part of this administration because they keep coming against the Texas law. It's like they won't take no for an answer. Would you share your thoughts on that?
Yes. When this law went into effect, immediately, the abortion industry and all their representatives sued the state of Texas. And the state of Texas law doesn't have the state of Texas suing them or putting them in trouble. It says that private citizens who are injured by abortion can sue them. And that's what happens. That's the way laws are. If someone injures you, you can go to court for damages. And so that's the remedy in the Texas law, which is unusual. So they sued and they lost and they went all the way to the Supreme Court on an emergency basis. And the Supreme Court said already in this case, we're not going to grant relief now. You haven't even been sued yet. Just wait till somebody sues you and then you can raise the defense. Oh, we have the right to do this under the Constitution. Well, that wasn't good enough. The Biden administration said, we're going to bring the full force of the United States government against the state of Texas because it's trying to protect women from devastating psychological consequences and human lives from being destroyed. And by the way, Texas has a better alternative. Texas has a safety valve for any woman who can't take care of a baby or doesn't want to. If she cannot parent or is not willing to parent, then she can use the safe haven law in Texas, relinquish her baby at a fire station or hospital within 60 days after birth, and then she's relieved from 18 years of obligation for that child. So it's not like it's the baby versus the mother. Let's just say in for some months of waiting, then you can be relieved, and the state of Texas will take the baby and give it to the million people waiting to adopt newborn children. But that wasn't good enough for the United States government. This is the most extreme abortion administration in American history. They want Americans to pay for abortions that they think is a crime against humanity. They want every woman to have it, and they've sued Texas. Even though the Supreme Court said, we're not going to join it, they're back again. They don't give up. They don't give up. Mm-hmm. And that actually is the right attitude if you believe something is right. The church should never give up, never give up, never give up, never give up. Even in the face of the darkest moment in history, when we thought our leader, Jesus Christ, had been crucified on the cross and killed, God turned that around to the greatest good in American history, where that death and the precious blood of Jesus wipes out all sin. For anybody who will take that blood upon themselves, kind of put it on their forehead or over the doorpost in a sense, but just say, Jesus, I need your blood. Cover my sins. Forgive me, O Lord.
Alan, well, I'm going to have to jump in here. Our time is just about gone, though, but thank you again just for you sharing your heart so powerfully and importantly in view of just all that's at stake here. So thank you again. Briefly, before we end our broadcast, as usual, for every single person listening, if you're listening today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is a great day to get saved. If you're listening and you know you've never made that important step, the most important decision in life, the decision to give your life to Christ, if you want to make that step, would you simply pray this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into this world a long time ago. You lived, you died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong. I repent of all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all my wrongs. Lord Jesus, in a brand new way, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, please email us at jparker@afa.net. We'd like to share some literature with you that'll help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your walk with the Lord. Our phone guest has been Attorney Alan Parker. Alan, would you share your website and contact information one more time for our listeners?
TheJusticeFoundation.org, or Google the Justice Foundation and it'll come up, but TheJusticeFoundation.org.
All right. Again, Attorney Alan Parker has been our guest today. Pray much for Alan and for the great work and mission of the Justice Foundation. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.